Well, first of all, thank you for your warm welcome. Thank you for inviting me, and I do trust we'll have a blessed time together as we meet around God's Word. It's been an encouragement to hear you sing, particularly because my singing isn't great, so hopefully for the third hymn you can override me and smother my bad singing. So thank you for singing well. Please do continue to do so. We're going to be focusing tonight, particularly as our brother Ben mentioned, on two verses in Proverbs chapter 3. So if you'd like to turn to those two verses with me now, please. It's verses 5 and 6. So we're looking at Proverbs chapter 3, and we're going to be meditating and focusing tonight upon verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Some of you that know me will know I have three children. One is 6, one is 4, and one is 2. And as all children are, they're very individual, quite different in character. Our eldest is very laid back. We thought we'd sort of cracked it with him, and then number 2 came along, and he's very intense. Lovely boy, but very intense. And our youngest, Abigail, is somewhere in the middle of the two. Something happened recently, particularly with Elijah, our middle son, who's quite intense, that made me really think of these verses, and particularly the way that we can sometimes react or respond to things in our lives. I'll sort of recount the tale to you as briefly as I can. So we'd gone out for some basic sort of shopping in a local town nearby, and we'd promised the children that after doing the shopping we'd return and go to a day out at Beacon Fell, which some of you may know. It's a lovely place to go for a free day, or fairly free. You've got to pay for parking. Ask me later, actually, there's a free car park around the back if you don't know where that is. But we'd said we'd go there, and on our way to Beacon Fell, we decided to take a slight detour because it was just made more sense to go that way. Myself and my wife knew what we were doing. The children didn't know anything about this. So Caleb was probably completely oblivious. Elijah, who has a very good sense of direction, picked up straight away, "Hold on a minute, this isn't the normal way we're going. Actually," he must have thought, "this looks like we're going home." So he was quite concerned by this. And needless to say, Daddy, are we going to Beacon Fell? "Yes, Elijah, we're going to Beacon Fell. Don't panic, we are going to Beacon Fell." "Daddy, it looks like we're going home." "Elijah, we are definitely going to Beacon Fell. We're going a slightly different way today, but we are going to get there, don't worry." A few moments later, "Daddy, is this a shortcut?" No, Elijah, no, it's not a shortcut. "We are going to Beacon Fell. Don't worry, we'll get there eventually." A few more minutes later on, "Daddy, are you sure we're going to Beacon Fell?" Now, at this point, I'm quite a patient father, I think, but at this point, I was getting a bit upset. He wasn't trusting me, really. So I had to say, "Elijah, if you don't stop, you're going to be in trouble. We are going to Beacon Fell." A few moments later, "Daddy, are you sure we're going to Beacon Fell?" There's still an element of doubt in his mind as to whether he could trust me or not. And it made me really think, how often are we like that with God? How often can we mistrust God? And these verses sum that up, don't they? What we should do. We should trust him with all our heart, not lean on our understanding, which, like Elijah, is sometimes very limited, and acknowledge him, and he will make straight our paths. But sadly, it has to be said, in the face of the unknown and trials we go through, we sometimes can be this way with God. We're not sure he's leading us the right way. We think we can see a better way. We're not always sure that he's taking us the best, most direct way to where we should be going. Maybe we can think of a shortcut. We're not always sure that he actually understands what he's doing in the first place. Have you got it right, God? Do you really know what you're doing? Basically, can we trust him in every situation, even if it seems like he's leading us in a way that we are not perhaps comfortable with? Now Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, directs us very plainly to trust in the Lord with all our heart and not to lean on our own understanding, but acknowledge God in all our ways, and he promises that he will then direct our paths. So to begin with tonight, what I'd like us to look at is what it means, first of all, to trust and acknowledge God in the way we are exhorted to do so. And secondly, some obstacles to doing that. Thirdly, some aids, some help, some assistance that we can use to do that. Lost where I'm up to with points here. I think fourthly, the way to do that. And fifthly, it sounds like a lot of points, but don't worry, it's not going to take us that long. Fifthly, the result of doing that. So we're looking at what it means to trust God in this way, obstacles to doing so, aids to doing so, the way to do it, and finally, the results of doing so. So let's turn to our first heading. I'm going to read verse 5 again. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. But, we'll read on verse 6 as well, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Now before we carry on, I will say at this point that most of what I'm going to say tonight is addressed to the believer. So most of what we're going to look at tonight is directly addressed to those who are trusting Christ as their saviour. But, there may be some of you here tonight, friends, I don't know you. Many of you I don't know at all, some of you I know a little bit, some of you I know a bit more. I don't know your hearts. And there may be some here tonight who aren't yet trusting Christ as their Saviour. So what will these verses say to you? Well, from a different perspective, you could still be leaning on your own understanding rather than trusting God with all your heart. You may think that by living a good life, by trying your best, by reading your Bible, by coming to church, by giving to the church, by helping those who are needy, you can in some way please God and earn your salvation. The Bible says that is leaning on your understanding for your own salvation. That is not the way to be saved. Jesus himself says that no man comes to the Father but through him. No man. I'd direct you actually to another proverb. If this is your case tonight, if you think you can earn your way to God in any way, or perhaps even you think that all roads lead to God, if that's you tonight, in any way, shape or form, Proverbs 14:12 is a verse for you. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. So my words to you would be to listen to Jesus. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. We've just sung earlier on that Jesus died on the cross, what it meant to him to come and be crucified, the Holy One, to bear away our sin. That's exactly what he did for you and for me. And if you will come to him acknowledging that and asking him to forgive you and save you, your secret sins, your open sins can all forgiven be. And that is the only way they can be forgiven. The only way you can be right with God tonight is to put your full trust in Christ as your Saviour. And that's what I'd urge you to do. Jesus says, whoever comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. That's the gospel, isn't it? That's the glorious gospel that Ben mentioned. We're here to praise God for. That whoever comes to him, he will not cast out. So if you're tonight leaning on your understanding for your salvation, trying to earn your way to God, trying to work your own way to God, please shun that folly. Come to God through the means he has appointed, through his Son, Jesus Christ, and you will not be turned away. But turning now back to those of us who are believers, who are trusting Christ as our Saviour, what do these verses say to us? Well, what does it mean, first of all, to trust and acknowledge God in these ways? Briefly, it is ultimately a refusal to have faith in ourselves. It is a refusal to have faith in what we think we know. Now, it's not just a negative, it's also a positive. Because if you refuse to have faith in yourself, well, what are you going to put your faith in? It's a positive in the sense that we have to have a determined resolution, rather, to have our faith, put our faith fully in God. So it's a refusal to have faith in our own understanding and to lean upon that, but rather to put our faith, our trust fully in God. And it's a life of faith. It is, in brief, it's a summary of the Christian life, isn't it? We live by faith. And it applies to every area, big or small, every joy, every trial, every grief, every perplexing circumstance. And I know that some of you brothers and sisters are going through those even now. But this is what it means to be a believer, to put our trust in God, no matter what the situation, whatever venture, whatever unknown, whatever failure, every choice to put your trust in God and not to try and think your way through a situation that it is impossible for you to do so. Now, a word of caution there, because it does not mean a life of inaction. And what some people would say is let go and let God. Just coast through life as though God's going to pick up all the pieces and make everything right. You know, suffer no consequence for your inaction, for your disobedience perhaps at times. A Christian who is doing this will use all the means God has given them to live a godly, organised, disciplined life. But they will not rely on their own intellect, knowledge, anything that God has given them in any way to actually trust and move forward with those things. They will actually seek God out in every step and put their full faith in God when they can't see the way forward. That's what it means to live this life. Some things I thought of really, thinking about this, that perhaps may apply to us. It applies to doctrine that's hard to understand. Think about the Trinity. If we try and fully understand the Trinity and then somehow lean upon that, we're going to fall straight over, aren't we, and get it all wrong and all back to front and upside down. We know what the facts are that God has given us and we simply trust God for the rest. It's the same with choices that were hard to face each day. It's the same with guidance for new ventures. It's the same with unexpected circumstances. The same when the worst happens and when various trials and afflictions are what God has ordained for us. So that's just a brief summary of what it might mean to live in this way, trusting and acknowledging God in all your ways and putting your full trust in Him, not your own understanding. So some obstacles then. What are the obstacles to trusting God in this way? Well, I'd like to look at the life of Peter actually. I think there's 3 points in Peter's life that I think quite helpfully illustrate 3 things that sometimes are obstacles for trusting God in this way. The first one is pride. So pride can be a real obstacle when it comes to trusting the Lord with all our heart and not leaning on our understanding of things. You think of Peter when Jesus said to him, "You will all fall away because of me this night." And what was Peter's response? "Though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away." And the other disciples said likewise, didn't they? It wasn't just Peter. Poor Peter gets a tough rap sometimes, doesn't he? But it wasn't just Peter. But maybe in Peter's heart was pride that he would, "They may all do that, but I would never do that to you, Lord. I would never do that to you." That's a real obstacle. Because Peter had been told plainly what would happen by the Lord. But in his mind, in his understanding of the events in his own heart, he didn't get it. He thought he'd be fine. He thought he was strong enough. And that led to failure. We turn a bit later on to where Peter acts in haste. So pride's a big obstacle to doing this. But acting in haste is as well. Not stopping and thinking and meditating and praying. You know, that can be a real obstacle to trusting the Lord with all our hearts and not leaning on our understanding. It can be an obstacle to doing that. And again, we think of Peter when the rabble comes to arrest his Lord and Saviour. What's Peter's response? He chops the high servant's ear off, doesn't he? The high priest's servant's ear off. Thank you, Don. The high priest's servant's ear off. Now, we know he acted wrongly because it's a rebuke, isn't there, from Christ for doing so. He didn't stop and think. He didn't stop and think, who is my saviour? My saviour is the one who can call a legion of angels to come and destroy this rabble. But he acted in haste, thinking he could step in and fill that gap that perhaps Jesus' need. But no, Jesus had another way. He'd already been told, hadn't he, Peter, that this is the way it must be. But he acted in haste rather than stopping and thinking and meditating and trusting what Jesus had told him. So when we act in haste, it can be a big obstacle to trusting the Lord with all our heart. And the final thing, there may be many others, but the final thing that I thought of was fear. Now I'd say out of all the three, this is perhaps the one that it speaks most clearly to me, and the one perhaps we're most prone to as believers, is we act sometimes out of fear. And we can think of Peter, can't we? As he stood there and watched his Lord betrayed and arrested and interrogated, the words that Jesus had predicted came true. He acted in fear and denied his Saviour. Three times denied his Saviour. I don't judge Peter for that. I can have perfect sympathy with Peter, because I too can act out of fear as a believer. Don't condone what he did, obviously, neither does the Bible. But we can have sympathy that we can act out of fear and act wrongly, very wrongly, because we are not trusting the Lord with all our heart. We are thinking, hold on a minute, God's got something badly wrong here. This is not the way it should be. What am I going to do about it? So we can act out of fear. And this leads us to not doing this, not trusting the Lord with our hearts, and leaning instead on what we think we know. So three obstacles to trusting the Lord: pride, acting in haste, and fear. What are some aids then? What are some helpful things we can do to help us do this? Well, firstly, I'd say memory is a good one. Sanctified memory. As a believer, if you are honest, which I'm sure you all are, you look very honest people, you know your weakness and fallibility, don't you, like I do? You know how weak you are, how wrong you've got it so often. So your memory should help you with that, to think, I've done this in the past, I've actually not stopped, and I've not sought God's guidance, I've actually rather trusted what I think I know and cracked on with it and made a massive mistake and it's all gone badly wrong. How many times have you and I done that? And secondly, in terms of memory, not only the way we are, but the way God has dealt with us, the way God has dealt with you and me as his children in the past. How often has he picked us back up after we've not trusted him and enabled us to carry on? How often have we actually, by God's grace, been able to trust him? And he's shown us time and time and time again, he is worthy of all our trust. Whatever the situation may be you found yourself in. And it may be, at the minute, you are in the midst of a really dark, desperate situation, where you feel, there is no possible way that I can get through this. I've been there, I'm sure many of you have been there. Maybe some of you are there tonight. Think back to the way that you've been in similar situations in the past. Think back to the way that God has helped you through that, and you've, by God's grace, even been able to say, thank you, Lord, that you took me through that time, because it's brought me closer to you. It's weaned me off this earth. It's made me realise that there's something far better waiting for me. So think about that. Think about your memory of yourself and of God's dealings with you. The second thing I'd say that's a good help is knowing God's promises. Knowing God's promises. Now, God promises us many things. And some of you will be familiar, I'm sure. Well, I'm sure you all be familiar with Pilgrim's Progress to a lesser or greater degree. And there's an account where Christian and his friend, I think it's Hopeful, are off the King's Highway. And they get caught by the giant despair. They've strayed from the path and they get caught. And they get taken by this giant despair. And they get thrown in his dungeon. And night after night he comes and taunts them and beats them. And eventually one night the giant despair comes and says, in the morning you will be dead. Look at all the bones of the people I've killed all over there. That's going to be you in the morning. And Christian and his friend Hopeful spend all night praying. It's up all night in prayer. And just before the break of dawn, Christian thinks, what a fool I've been. What a fool. I've got a key. The key's called promise. And that key called promise opens the door to every gate, every lock, and they walk free from the giant despair's castle. Now, that's a real picture, isn't it, of the power of God's promises to us. So when you are tempted to think, this situation is beyond me, I'm going to act, I've got to get out, I've got to fix this. I've got to somehow fix what God's forgotten about. God's made a mistake. I can fix this. Some of these things, obstacles, fear, acting in haste, pride, whatever's going on there, remember God's promises to you. Because God does not lie. And he will keep every single one of his promises to you, without fail, without exception. So remember that when you feel that somehow you have to fix things yourself, that perhaps in ways that you know are wrong, you're tempted to do that, or act hastily without knowing God's guidance in a certain situation, or maybe you think, I've got this, I can deal with this myself. Remember God's promises, the warnings and the promises. Remember both, because God does not lie. And we can all say as God's children, can't we, that God has never once broken a promise to us. He's led us through some dark times, some difficult times, some really desperate times. But he's never broken his promise. And he never will. Leading on from that, knowing God. Now, how much of an aid is that to doing this, to trusting him with all our hearts? To know God. Know his faithfulness. Know his goodness, his holiness, his righteousness, his patience, his kindness to us, his mercy. Knowing who he is, that everything belongs to him. There is nothing he cannot use for his own good purposes if he chooses to do so. Even the hearts of the king are in his hand. It's tempting, isn't it, at times when something's going badly wrong, to think, I've got to fix this, I've got to sort this out, I've got to act. And actually sometimes it's a patient, prayerful waiting that we need to do, and just leaning more upon God. So there are some aids I'd like to encourage you to employ to doing this. Fourthly then, what is the way we can do this? How can we do this the right way? Well, to start with, refuse the wrong way. To do it the right way, we've got to refuse the wrong way first of all, otherwise we're on the wrong path, aren't we? And it's very plain, do not lean on your own understanding. And we sometimes do that without even realising we're doing it. And something that I'm very prone to, and something I read made me realise this, was that I don't necessarily try and act at times to fix things that I shouldn't really be trying to fix. What I try and do is I try and rationalise it in my head. And I'll think over and over and over a situation, a problem, and I won't let it drop, and I'll try and think it through. One pastor wrote it in a way which I found very helpful. He writes, you may wish to examine your situation. And he's talking about difficult situations here, things that are perplexing to us, things where we may think, is this the way God wants me to go? Times where we think, God surely has made a mistake. Maybe God's forsaken me. He's led me down this dark path. And God has forsaken me. Or maybe you're thinking, but you've told me in the past I'm going there. Why am I going there? Why are we taking this big detour? Surely I should be heading over that way. And actually, sometimes we try and rationalise this and think it through and come up with our own solution. The pastor writes about this in this way. He says, you may wish to examine your situation. Turn it over in your mind repeatedly and analyse it until you can figure out what's going on. In doing so, you try to control it, maintaining a false sense of security that can be painfully undermined when circumstances don't proceed the way that you expect. His advice is, don't fall for that trap. God's command is clear. Trust him and don't rely on your understanding. You don't have the full picture. That's so true, isn't it? We don't have the full picture. We have a tiny, tiny fraction of the picture at the best of times. Only God does. Rather, when everything appears to contradict what the Father has promised you, remember that your view of the situation is limited and that your obedience to him is more crucial than ever. Though everything within you may fight against it, remain pure, submissive, loving, faithful, self-controlled, forgiving, and above all, exhibit faith in his faultless character. I think they're sound words of advice about refusing the wrong way to do this. Don't try either mentally to try and solve an unsolvable problem that God has not put on you to solve. What he wants us to do is cast it upon him. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Doesn't mean we don't employ our intellect. It means once we've prayed about these things, we leave them with God. And employ the right way, which we've alluded to already. We read earlier on, our brother Ben read for us, Philippians chapter 4, and it's verses 6 and 7 that I found particularly pertinent to this proverb. And verses 6 and 7 of Philippians 4 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." That is the right way, isn't it? That is the right way to find your way through perhaps a dark, desperate situation. It is not to lean on your understanding, because you will definitely fall over. You will. We all do. We think we know what's right. We've got a tiny fraction of the picture. We're like Elijah in the car thinking, this isn't right. Where are we going? What's going on? Where's the shortcut? Why are we not going where we said we were going? Panic. That's not the way to be. The way to be, God graciously tells us, is to trust him. And we do that. We can do that through prayer. Prayer. And prayer in a certain way. Because God doesn't want us to be false. God knows where you and me are at. If the last thing you think you can really do is trust God at that minute, God does not want you to come to him and say, "I trust you." He wants you to come to him and say, "I'm really finding it hard to trust you at the minute, God. Father, please help me." So we start from where we're at. We start where we are at. And we pray to God for the faith we need, for the Holy Spirit's guidance, help, comfort, assurance, whatever it is we need. We pray for that so that we can then trust him with all our heart. That's the way we begin. We start where we're at. We're honest with God, aren't we? Got to start where we're at. And we pray to God honestly and openly. God knows what we're thinking, but how often do we sometimes presume that God's going to judge us for the things we're already thinking, or if you pray them to him? God's our Father. He knows what we're thinking. He knows what we're feeling. We've got to be open and honest with him when we pray. Particularly in a dark situation, we can sometimes find things in our hearts that we don't want there, towards God even, can't we? Doubt, anger. Why? Why are you allowing this? Not the way it should be. Mistrust. These are things that we don't want as believers. We battle them, but pray about them to God. Tell him what you're feeling, what you're going through, how you're thinking. Tell him where you're at. Be honest and open. Hold nothing back. And finally, coming back to what the pastor was mentioning earlier on, we pray expectantly. We pray expectantly. And what that means is we don't try and muster up some sort of expectant faith that all's going to be perfectly well. It means we pray and we leave it with God. We pray and we leave it with God. That's expectancy, isn't it? If my son came to me and said, "Dad, I'm really finding this piece of maths homework really hard, or I'm finding this particular job really hard," and then I try and help him, he takes the pencil back off me and the pen back off me and the hammer back off me, that's not expectancy, is it? That's him praying, telling me what, then trying to fix it himself all over again. We can do that physically, we can do that mentally, we can pray to God sometimes, then straight away we're thinking it all over again in our heads. And it's very hard to break that sometimes, isn't it? To actually being able to leave that with God. But do pray expectantly. Ask him to help you. Leave all those things with him. And that's what he says, that with thanksgiving and supplication, we make our requests known to him. And the promise, and this is a promise, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard. It's an important word, that, isn't it? It doesn't say give, it says guard. Guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Now, why guard? Well, sometimes when we're struggling and we're doubting and we're failing, we can sometimes lead to sin, can't it? We can actually begin to not trust Him. Our hearts and our minds don't trust God. We can begin to sort of do things that we shouldn't normally do to try and fix a situation that isn't ours to fix. God will guard us against that if we expectantly, honestly, openly, and faithfully pray to Him. If you're anything like me, there's been times in my life where I feel I can't even pray. And I definitely don't have the faith I need to pray some of those prayers in that way. What do we do then? How do we get through that? What if we're in the despair, the dungeon of despair? What if we're there? What if we feel so lost, so far away from God that I can't even pray? We remember our great intercessor, don't we? Our glorious Saviour. Think back to Peter. Peter failed on all three points. He was perhaps proud, he acted in haste, he was fearful. But did God cast him away for that? Did Jesus say, no, that's it, you've done it now, you're forsaken? Jesus says, prior to all this, he says, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. Now what an encouragement that is. We feel like our faith is going to fail us at times. We're in a dark situation. The pathway seems completely unclear. But Jesus is praying for us before, during and after all our trials, all our troubles. When we can't even pray for ourselves, Jesus is praying for, interceding for us, pleading with the Father, showing His wounds which destroy all our sin, take it all away. And God cannot refuse His prayer on our behalf, and He will never do so. So if you feel you're in that place where you cannot pray for yourself, brothers and sisters, pray for each other. But remember that we have a great intercessor who never stops interceding on our behalf. He ever lives to do just that. Finally then, what is the result? What is the result of all this? What is the result if by God's grace He enables us to trust in the Lord with all our heart and not to lean on our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge Him? What is the result of all this? Well, God makes it very clear again. And again, another promise for you here. If we, by God's grace, can do this, He will make straight your paths. Now, other versions say direct your paths, which I think is possibly a better translation. They both are obviously true, and they both, in effect, mean the same thing. The problem with making it straight implies it's going to be dead easy, doesn't it? It's going to be completely clear of all obstacles, and it's going to be very direct. And I don't think it means that at all. I think it does mean direct. A straight path can still undulate, can't it? It can be straight but up and down. It can be straight but have obstacles along the way. And I think that's very often what the Christian walk is like, even when we are doing this, isn't it? It's by no means an easy life that we live. But the promise is that God will make straight our path. He will direct us. We will be walking in the path that He has given us. If that's a patient waiting, that's what it means for us. If it's just leaning on Him more with trust and faith, that's what it means for us at the right time. But it does mean that our lives will be clearly directed by God. Now, that is in every respect, isn't it? God doesn't do things by halves, doesn't allow anything to chance. It does mean that in every way, we will be given the guidance, we'll be given the strength, we'll be given the direction that we need to continue walking with Him. We may feel at times like we're walking in darkness and have no light. In Isaiah 50, we're told to trust in the Lord, aren't we? In those times, trust in the Lord, as we're told to again here, that He will not lead us astray. So let's be willing to be led, even if God's leading is not what we think it should be. We may still think, you've still got this wrong. I've prayed, I'm trusting you as best I can, I'm leaning on you heavy and hard, I'm doing all I can to put my full trust in you, but this is still really hard. It's still, I can't see the way ahead. I'm struggling to trust you. help me. That's still God's guidance. That's still God's leading. And he's calling us to keep on doing this. He's not saying it's not worked. He's by no means forfeited his promise. He's calling us to keep on trusting. Keep on leaning. Keep on acknowledging. And eventually, I am certain that he will lead you out into a broad and open place. It isn't always the path we expect. By no means is it always the path we expect. If anything, it's often the path we don't expect, isn't it? A commentator called Charles Bridges, so some of you will know him, writes these words, which again I found very helpful. He says, in relation to these verses, we may be led for the exercise of our faith in a way that we know not. Perhaps a way of disappointment, or even of mistake. And this is the key. Yet no step well prayed over will bring ultimate regret. Though the promise will not render us infallible, our very error will be overruled for deeper humiliation and self-knowledge, and thus even this mysterious direction will in the end be gratefully acknowledged. He led me forth in the right path. So brothers and sisters, I don't know many of you. I have heard that some of us this evening are going through very difficult, hard, challenging times in various ways. And we are praying for you as a church. We're praying for each other, I know, because we're a prayerful church. Our Lord is praying for us. And I just encourage you this night to listen to these words, to trust the Lord with all your heart. Ask him for faith to do that. Don't lean on what you think you know the outcome's going to be. Or even necessarily what you think the next step's going to be. But acknowledge him in all your ways and he will direct your paths. Shall we pray? Father, you are such a faithful God. We are so thankful that you have chosen us, adopted us, given us faith and eyes to see the beauty of our Saviour. We are unworthy of him. We lament our lack of love, our cold hearts, our lack of trust in you at times, Lord. But yet we know that you are faithful, that you will honour your promises. We do pray for any struggling, particularly tonight, that you will give them that faith, that trust. Help them to remember your ways with them in the past, Lord. That you are a faithful God. You've brought them through dark, difficult, challenging times. And you will do the same again. Lord, we pray for those who are struggling. We pray for them that you will lead them through and that they will be filled with joy and delight in seeing your hand in the situations they found so hard. And they'll be filled with a greater love and delight in you. And you will bring great glory to your name. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen.